It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Businesses across Wisconsin are ramping up hiring in preparation for the summer months when teens join Wisconsin's labor force.
As Joe Schultz reports, this year's summer tourism season comes after a political standoff over a Republican bill that would have removed work permit requirements for the state's youngest workers.
There we go.
Thank you. You guys are the best.
Last weekend was the first of the summer for Wilson's Restaurant and Ice Cream Parlor in Door County. Walking inside the century-old building is almost like stepping back in time. Teens take ice cream orders behind a counter as oldies music pours out of a jukebox that still plays records. Well, I save my pennies and I save my dimes. Each summer, Wilson's hires about 70 seasonal employees. Roughly a third of them are high school-aged. Sarah Martin is a former teacher who owns the business with her husband. She says she loves giving teens their first work experience.
A lot of people ask if I miss teaching, and I'm like, I really don't feel that far removed from it. It's just a different type of teaching.
Wilson's isn't the only place ramping up for the summer season. More than 35,000 14 and 15-year-olds join Wisconsin's workforce each year. That's according to state data. May and June are traditionally the months the state issues the most work permits each year. 16 and 17-year-olds in Wisconsin no longer need work permits, but state data shows a larger share of Wisconsin's older teens are either working or looking for work than the share nationally. But summer hiring has been a mixed bag this year. Some employers say it's been easier to hire, while others say it's been difficult. Susan Quam is with the Wisconsin Restaurant Association.
Everybody's still scrambling pretty hard to find and fill their summer workforce. We're just, even with the great participation rate compared to the country, it's still, you know, not meeting the needs we have in our tourism months.
The season comes after Governor Tony Evers vetoed a bill that would have removed work permit requirements for 14 and 15-year-olds. The proposal had backing from several business groups. The Wisconsin Restaurant Association took a neutral stance on it. Quam says the law that removed work permits for 16 and 17-year-olds has streamlined hiring. But restaurants feared the bill for younger teens would have exposed them to legal liability. That's because 14 and 15-year-olds are subject to strict federal restrictions on the hours they can work and the equipment they can use. Quam says the work permit process helps protect restaurants because it ensures parents and employers review the restrictions they need to follow. Martin with the Door County Ice Cream Parlor agreed with the association's position.
I do think it makes sense for the 14, 15-year-olds. They can't drive. You know, they're just getting in the workforce. You don't want them overdoing it, and you want to make sure their parents are in the loop.
Between 2018 and 2022, Wisconsin had the second most federal child labor violations among neighboring states. According to the U.S. Department of Labor, the state averaged 99 violations per year. During that same period, the Labor Department saw a 69% increase nationally in children being illegally employed. And some safety violations can be serious. Last year, a 16-year-old boy died from injuries sustained working at a northern Wisconsin sawmill. The company was fined nearly $200,000 for federal child labor violations. Tables fill a gymnasium at the local Boys and Girls Club during a recent job fair in Stevens Point. Students roam the room, stopping to speak with employers. Here's high school freshman Callie Marks on why she was looking for a summer job.
To start saving up for a vehicle and stuff, and get that extra money and stuff.
For others, summer jobs provide a social setting.
I don't like just sitting around. It's more fun just doing stuff and being with people. I'm pretty social.
That's 14-year-old Marin Grancy. She plans to spend the summer working at the Door County Ice Cream Parlor. As employers prepare for the summer season, state officials say teens have become a more important part of the state's workforce. That's because baby boomers continue aging out. And that means questions about where they can work and under what conditions are not likely to go away. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is Wisconsin Today. Smoke from Canadian wildfires triggered air quality advisories in our state earlier this month, with pollution levels becoming unhealthy for some people.
But how polluted is the air in your community? A group of Beloit residents realized they didn't have a clear understanding of their air quality, so they decided to measure it themselves. Using six air quality sensors on loan from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the Beloit volunteers made an alarming discovery.
Their city's air quality had the worst measurement of particulate matter pollution in the United States. We turned to organizers of this community effort. Brittany Keys is Clean Air Coordinator with Healthy Climate Wisconsin, and Pablo Toral is a professor of environmental studies and international relations at Beloit College's School of Environment. Pablo, welcome.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Pablo, let's start with you. You helped coordinate this volunteer effort to test air quality in Beloit. What did you find out?
What we found out is that in 2023, Beloit had some of the highest indicators of air pollution in the entire country, particularly in the Midwest. We were not necessarily too far off from other nearby communities such as Milwaukee or Chicago, but we're certainly a little bit higher, which suggests that Beloit has all of the factors that lead to air pollution. The main source is combustion, and combustion is normally the result of three processes: manufacturing, tailpipe emissions from transportation, and power plants. And what we have in Beloit is all three of those. Some communities have one, some communities have two, and Beloit has all three. Add to that a very, very active and long fire season, wildfire season in Canada, and that led to the results that we had last year in 2023, which allowed us to track the impact of the wildfires in addition to the local sources of air pollution.
Okay, so that wildfire season compounding what is already there. Brittany, what is your reaction to the readings from these air quality sensors?
So we knew that Beloit, as Pablo, Professor Terrell shared, had higher industrial reported emissions to the EPA. And we have the public health metrics with high hospitalizations for asthma and youth that you would anticipate with higher pollution. We just had an issue that we weren't monitoring or very much under monitoring. So what our project was able to provide for us was data behind our hypothesis that we had a problem. And our specific analysis for our community science project, it ran from the end of 2022 to the early months of 2023. So our data did not capture the wildfire smoke. It showed that our particulate matter or soot pollution was 2 to 3 times higher than the World Health Organization of what they say is safe. So that was a reason for a call to action in itself. And then when the IQ Air report came, that provided comparative information capturing all of 2023. And that was startling. I'm a mom of 2 young kids. And to appreciate that, you know, now that we have this data, this is our designation. It's time for us to do something about it.
We hear the terminology particulate matter. Can you explain what particulate pollution is and the impact on our body's organs like the lungs?
Particulate matter pollution is essentially soot pollution that often comes from combustion of burning of fuel sources. They're very, very small molecules, much smaller than the diameter of a hair or grain of sand. And what happens is we breathe them in, and they're so small, they go to the deepest aspects of our lungs and can be absorbed and actually enter our bloodstream and then circulate around and then end in different organs of the body. So particulate matter pollution can impact almost every system of our body and impacts our health negatively throughout the lifespan, and it has an accumulative effect. Specifically to the lungs, it can exacerbate asthma symptoms, increase hospitalizations, and exacerbate chronic pulmonary conditions. So the elderly as well. So it's a very important metric in air pollutant to monitor.
We're talking about volunteer testing of the air in Beloit and what the city has found in levels of particulate pollution compared to the U.S., the world. Brittany Keys is with us, Clean Air Coordinator with Healthy Climate Wisconsin, and Pablo Toral is a professor of environmental studies and international relations at Beloit College, where he's the chair of the environmental studies program. Pablo, I want to turn to the volunteerism effort of this air quality monitoring. Your group of volunteers requested sensors initially from the Environmental Protection Agency. What are these monitors like? What do they do?
If you will allow me, I'd like to take this project, if we can call it a project, back a decade. About a decade ago, I became very interested in working with the city of Beloit in coming up with a climate plan. And so I started to track some information on emissions of greenhouse gases. And when Dr. Keyes was a member of the city council at around 2020, if I remember correctly, 2019, 2020, I remember that the city was interested in coming up with a climate proclamation. I said, oh, excellent. Now we're getting some traction. So I reached out to the city council and I put together a report in which I basically documented the sources of greenhouse gas emissions in Beloit and pointed out some of the challenges that the community faced in terms of addressing, those emissions. If we really want to have a proclamation, we also need a plan. And the plan has to be based on sound data as to where the sources of greenhouse gases are and how we come up with a plan to eliminate them by a particular target year. That's when I started to go back and forth with Dr. Keyes, and that's what really led the project to start getting momentum. So if you don't mind me, I'm going to pass it on to Dr. Keyes, who can answer the question.
Sure. But that really lays the foundation, Pablo, to understand the impetus behind where these monitors came from. Brittany, can you pick it up from here?
Yes. I reached out to the Wisconsin DNR, and at the time they were within federal guidelines for where their monitors were. We only have an ozone monitor on the far west side of town in Beloit, and that's a seasonal monitor. And so they recommended purple air monitors, so purple air particulate matter monitors. It's fairly accessible. They're about $200 to $300. And the DNR has a gold standard conversion factor that we can use to account for Wisconsin climate to come up with some pretty good community science-based data. And so the EPA has a loan program, and with the help and the support of Healthy Climate Wisconsin and an entity called Thriving Earth Exchange, we were able to organize a really solid and neat project to secure these monitors, and a number of community partners, including two local high schools, service providers, local community centers, to really get a diverse setting of where all of these monitors were, as well as start monitoring where some of our most vulnerable live.
And so you had to recruit the volunteers, train them up to carry out the science and gathering the data from the monitors and maintaining them. What was that like?
Well, that's the fun part of the science project there. Working with the community partners, we were able to go into some classrooms and work with some of the high school students at Beloit Memorial High School and include them in on the project, have them register the sensor, help mount the sensor, and then they were able to work that into some of their projects in the high school. After we sent the EPA sensors back, we were able to get a little funding, secure sensors, and put them back up, and so to continue to work with some of these community partners.
I think that's such a key point, Pablo, because when you had to return the borrowed sensors from the EPA last fall, that you had a community response there saying, no, we want to continue to do this monitoring. What happened there?
Yeah, that was actually fantastic. In a way, the serendipity and the snowballing effect of this initial plan that I had, or lack of plan interest in coming up with a climate strategy for Beloit, has really escalated into this community-led, community-based science project. My own students were very excited about this. And, you know, there was a student who put together, helped me put together a proposal to get money to install one of these sensors at Beloit College. We have other members of the community who reached out because they were interested. The League of Women Voters organized a series of talks, and that really helped us amplify, you know, the message, and that really led to more members of the community, different organizations reaching out. So this snowballing effect has been absolutely fantastic in terms of creating awareness, educating the population, and getting people, you know, to take matters into their own hands.
Brittany, why was it left to a group of volunteers to do this type of testing? You mentioned the seasonal monitors that the DNR had. Should the Environmental Protection Agency or the state DNR be monitoring for air quality in a more expansive way in Beloit and elsewhere?
So I have to recognize that they're working with what they have with respect to personnel and funding and working within the guidelines that they're given as far as the DNR and working within the EPA guidelines. That being said, this is a great example of you don't know what you're not monitoring. And just because you're not monitoring doesn't mean there isn't a problem. So I think this is a great call for action and support of community science across the state, because the DNR only has monitors in 27 out of the 72 counties in Wisconsin. So I believe a lot of communities probably don't know what they're breathing. And once we start monitoring, we could get more answers. But we really do need that DNR or EPA monitor that's a gold standard regulatory monitor in order to start moving from reaction and awareness to actually implementing remediation and preventative action.
Pablo, what is your vision for next steps, and what do you want from state leaders, the DNR, as you continue to voluntarily gather this data?
Yes, I think we need regional action on it. Emissions in Beloit, in Brock County in general, are very large compared to the population that we have. And because the population is small, that means that institutional, economic, social, political resources are small as well. And the community is not going to have what it takes to come up with strategies to offset these emissions or to eliminate these emissions, which means that the plan moving forward has to be regional, has to be at the state level. This is a Wisconsin issue. This is a Midwest issue. Wisconsin, Illinois have to work together to address this.
Pablo, I'm going to give you the last word here, but it really sounds like finding those key partners is really important to doing this type of monitoring on the long term.
Yeah, that is correct. And I can't say that I have a perfect strategy to recommend, because our project came together by, you know, very serendipitously. But it all starts with having a community that cares, having a community with people who want to work collectively with those who are interested in the health of the community. And if you have that, then you have the main part. The rest will come.
Well, Brittany and Pablo, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this work.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you so much for your interest.
Pablo Toral is a professor of environmental studies and international relations at Beloit College's School of Environment and Sustainability. And Brittany Keyes is clean air coordinator with Healthy Climate Wisconsin. We've been learning about the work of volunteers in Beloit who are testing and monitoring the local air quality as part of an ongoing community science initiative.